Got my first vaccine, so I feel a little more comfortable.
Yeah, I'm getting my second on Monday. Okay. So.
Yeah, that's kind of been a long time coming.
Okay. So we'll go and get started. My name is Vernon Fleming, and I'm interviewing Dwight Rigsby about the Freedom of Choice initiation and integration of Louisa County Hospital in 1965. Mm-hmm. So if you don't mind also just stating your name and what years you attended Louisa County High School?
My name's Dwight Rigsby, and I was there 8th grade through the 12th, so that would have been 62 through graduated in 67.
Okay. And what grade were you in when school integrated?
Junior.
Okay. And when did you learn and how did you learn about Louisa County High School being integrated?
I can't exactly remember. I think it was just general conversation that change was coming, and when we showed up that year, it was pretty obvious.
Okay. Do you recall discussing it with your parents?
Not to any large degree. I think, my parents, said that there could be some new kids at the school, and some people would accept them and some wouldn't, and just to do the right thing.
Okay. What about your friends and peers? Now, did that discussion you found out how soon before school started, before that school year started in 65? Was it in the spring or summer?
Probably right before the school year.
Okay.
And my friends, when we got to school, we, knew it was a change, and we pretty much all accepted it and took a challenge to make it a good transition.
Okay, and do you think everyone accepted it?
No.
Okay. So just to build on that, what did you observe from those who maybe didn't accept it so well?
Well, the friends that people I hung out with, we all looked at it as, a right thing to do and a positive, and we accepted it, but there was always a group of people that they were looking to maybe cause trouble even before the integration, so that was just a new target for them.
Okay. Now, did you ride the school bus?
I did.
Okay. Were there any blacks that rode your school bus that first year?
No.
Okay. And
probably when I was a junior, I wasn't riding the school bus. I'm sure I was either riding with someone or driving at that point.
Okay. So when you entered school that fall in 1965, was there anything different from previous years as far as how things worked, operated, assemblies, things of that sort?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. What about sports teams, extracurricular activities? Were there any blacks that participated in sports with you?
Yeah, and that's kind of the, common denominator. Sports brings mm-hmm. a lot of people together from all, walks of life and diversity and everything else. So that was what probably got most of us initially together. Football practice was starting, or basketball, or baseball, or, any of the sports. So that was the uniting force, I guess.
Okay. Were there any blacks that played football that year?
I think Joe Morris started to play and then had to leave. Maybe his mother got sick or it was some family issue.
Okay.
But then Joe played basketball, ran track, so he was pretty much around the locker room on a regular basis.
Okay. Did you observe any issues with other schools that you played against that may have had some issues?
No.
Okay.
None I can think of.
Okay. I think when I talked to Joe and Steve Wright, mm-hmm. they made, recall Fluvanna, when they were playing basketball, had some issues with them, but I think it may have stood out more for them than for others. What about teachers? Did you think the teachers accepted integration as well as you did?
I didn't notice any, anything unusual. It was just kind of school as usual.
Okay. Going back to extracurricular activities, typically in high school, there's the parties and Friday night dances, things of that sort. Did you see any integration of those social activities?
Well, sporting events for sure and things like that, but I don't recall any At the end of the local dances, they always mm-hmm. had one at the fire hall at either Mineral or Louisa, but I don't recall any of the, you know, minority students coming to those activities.
Okay. Do you think, and from a community standpoint, do you think integration was welcomed outside of the school at that point?
I didn't see anything, you know, negative. I mean, mm-hmm. I grew up in a rural part of the, you know, county, and it was kind of a commonplace. We had, you know, neighbors that mm-hmm. were minorities, and actually, you know, some of us would get together on Saturday and play ball, you know,
okay.
as a mixed group, so it wasn't, you know, wasn't a big deal.
Okay. Thinking back on that first year especially, anything that you think you would have done differently in the first year of integration than we've done?
Me personally, no. Yeah. I think I, you know, accepted the change and tried mm-hmm. to make, you know, make it a positive experience. And most of the people that, you know, were my friends and we hung out together, played sports together, took it the same way. And so, yeah, me personally, I wouldn't have done anything different. I think we handled it the right way.
Good. Now, some kids, you may have known some, probably decided to transfer to out of Louisa County mm-hmm. High School. Are you aware of any that did? And I don't know your names, but...
Yeah, I did know some.
Okay. Do you think it was their decision or was parents or a combination of both?
I would say it was mostly their parents' decision.
Okay. Again, without calling any names, did you talk to anybody about that experience, how they felt about it?
Well, I think most of them enjoyed it, but then someone would come back to school dances and functions like that just because they wanted to stay in touch with, you know, the friends from Louisa.
Right.
But, and I think most of them went because their parents, you know, made the decision, and honestly, you know, you could read between the lines while they were doing it.
Right. As far as the having attended an integrated school, at least for your last 3 years of high school, you think there was anything positive about it or pretty much neutral as far as the way you were able to interact with folks later in life?
I'm glad it did. You know, I'm glad it happened. You know, I was part of, you know, that time frame of history because it, I think it was a good thing, and it carried on into, you know, later in life. Had to deal with people and diversity and things like that. It kind of got me started at an earlier age where some people weren't exposed to it until later on.
Okay. What did you do after high school?
Went to college.
Where?
I went to North Carolina Wesleyan.
Okay.
And then I moved back to Richmond. Worked for the community college system for a while. Worked for Central Fidelity Bank for most of my career. So worked in the business world most of the time.
Okay. And when did you move back to Louisa?
15 years ago.
Okay, not that long ago then.
Yeah, my kids had gotten out of the house, and my parents were still living here and needed some assistance. So we moved up here to kind of take care of them, let them stay in their home until, you know, they passed, and we liked it and decided to stay.
We're good. So, I think I've covered all the questions that I have, but anything that, thinking back to 1965, or slightly before, slightly after, anything that the experience particularly related to integration that you'd like to share that may not have been covered?
No, I mean, I'm proud of the fact that we, you know, were the first class, and I've told a story to my kids. I have, you know, son and daughter, and told them we were part of history, and they, you know, kind of enjoyed hearing the story and thought it was neat that we were in that first class and how we dealt with it. And to be honest, it kind of got me started in the right direction, and that's transferred over to the next generation of my kids. I mean, to them, they're colorblind. I've got grandkids, and they're, you know, following in the same steps. So I just think it was a right thing to do, and I'm part of, I'm proud to be a part of it, and have carried it on to my, my family and passed that on. So it was a good time to come along.
Okay, good. One question I've asked mothers also now, back in 1965, do you recall observing anything in the town of Louisa, Mineral, that were clearly Jim Crow symbols?
Like I said, I lived in the lower end of the county, so mm-hmm. I wasn't in the town of Mineral or Louisa unless it was just for, a school function or, some kind of activity. Yeah. So, no.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I want to thank you, Dwight, okay. for coming in, and I really appreciate you sharing. And
yeah, I'm curious, is this going into a...
It's going to be, again, one, there's a release form that you would have to sign.
Sure.
But basically, it's going to be in the Historical Society archives. Mm-hmm. And some folks had some reservations, so if they had reservations, that can be not released, uploaded into the public system, unless you feel okay with it. But the intent mm-hmm. is to be uploaded so researchers can, look at it and capture it for mm-hmm. any research projects they're doing.
Okay.
But all of us are getting older, and those who live through it, mm-hmm. And even some folks I've talked to, memories are bad already. So we just want to capture this, since it was historic for Louisa County mm-hmm. In 1965. So just having first-hand experiences like yours that we'll have for the record that 5, 10, 20, 100 years from now, someone to kind of capture mm-hmm. this, and whether or not they want to write a book or do a documentary, we've got first-hand commentary about what okay. it was like.
Yeah, well, like I said, I'm happy to have been able to help some. And it was a time in my life. I'm glad I came along when I did and was yes. a part of it.
Yeah. Hope there's some other horn blowing out there.
So, how many black kids came in that first class?
I was 13.
That's because Steve Montgomery and I were talking, and
right,
I thought it was 11, and we weren't quite sure.
Yeah, there was one senior, Vita Scott. There were okay. four juniors in your class.
Okay.
There was one sophomore, 3 ninth graders, and 4 eighth graders, and I was one of the eighth graders.
Okay, my class would have been Joe, Robert, William Mason.
And Margie Lucas.
Margie Lucas.
Right.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so... Yeah, when I was first talking with Margie, she thought her class, the 4, her, Joe, and Steve, and William were the only African Americans in the whole school.
Oh, okay.
But it was so few of us. Like my eighth grade, I didn't share a class with another mm-hmm. black except for Jim. A guy by the name of Walter Scott was in my class, but a lot of the blacks, didn't. So few of us, we didn't share another class with anyone okay. else that was black.
So did you grow up in this area?
Yes, I grew up in Louisa, but it was a lower end, far eastern part of the county, just near the Hanover-Goochland county line.
Oh, okay.
So I moved back 10 years ago and built a house right near where my mom lives now.
Okay, yeah, I was in the, went to Apple Grove.
Okay, yeah. We'd stop off at Apple Grove when we'd come into school. And mm-hmm. that was one of the stopping points where the elementary kids got off and the exchange point.
Yeah, back then they had student bus drivers. And
yeah, I drove my senior year.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Huh. How many people have you interviewed?
Interviewed 9 of the black students, mm-hmm. All except 2. 2 are deceased and one is
William.
In a nursing home.
Yeah, okay.
William and Beulah Perkins, they deceased. And one guy who's in my class, is in a nursing home, so he's not able to talk.
Okay.
So, and then as far as non-black students, we just started that today, but I talked to Steve Montgomery this mm-hmm. morning, and Steve Harris,
okay.
Lynn Guilford Wagner.
She was younger, wasn't she?
She was in my class. Okay. She was an eighth grader, right?
Okay.
And this afternoon,
Pam's coming in.
Pam, right? Your cousin?
Yeah.
And someone else. One other person. I'm drawing a blank.
Okay.
And then next week, still working to fill out the agenda, but have Tommy Barlow, who was an eighth grader also, but mm-hmm. he transferred out. Not sure which way he went, but he didn't stay to graduate, so.
Oh, Tommy Barlow?
Tommy Barlow, supervisor,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he lives right down the highway from
okay,
us.
Yeah. So I was in school with his wife, Marianne.
Okay.
Was Marianne Ware, and Jim Arts, who's the coach. He's the only teacher we've been able to find so far.
Okay, probably the only one alive.
I know.
Because I think Wolfolk has passed away, and Coach Smith, and quite a few of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate because you know, really curious on to how the teachers were coached, you know, prior to coming. Also, I'm sure they received some guidance on how to interact and deal with issues. So,
how was your experience?
It was different. Being in eighth grade, I didn't have any high school experience at all. So it was, you know, getting on the bus, and fortunately, I was one of the first to get on the bus. But you know, no one would sit beside me that first several years, and getting to school just the size, because I, you know, gone from a small elementary school, Shelfar, and getting to high school experience with just hundreds of people in the hallway. You know, again, as I said, no other blacks I shared a class with, and basically no communication. So it was pretty much, and what a lot of other folks shared also was kind of that were invisible, that I was kind of there, but, you know, no one talked to me. Teachers would, you know, kind of like a sterile environment. Okay, they had to call on me, would call on me, but no socialization, contact at all.
Yeah, and I guess in that class, you know, Joe was pretty outspoken.
Yeah, and
if you got to know Joe, you got to know Robert, you got to know William and Margie. So it was kind of, you know, a good group. And, you know, once you got to know one, you pretty much got to know everybody.
Yeah, Joe was extremely confident. Yeah. You know, he, when I talked with him, he just said he came in confident, and and his, you know, father was pretty much, not as far as his uncle, John Thompson, was pretty well-known in the community. So he came in a position of, hey, I'm here, I belong here. And I think he was kind of unique, given, you know, one, you know, being sports and being, you know, pretty good at sports. I think he was a fairly good basketball player and others. But he was kind of unique from some of the other kids who had experienced that, was probably a bit intimidated. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, we were called the N-word, spitballs and all of that stuff. But, you know, so probably not everyone's experienced the same thing. But I would say the vast majority, you know, caught some, saw some blatant racism.
Yeah. Is he still taping?
I don't know. Are you?
I was,
But I've been already interviewed, so all this.
Okay.
I've kind of shared.
Yeah, I was just chatting.